much time is given, then he knocks a chance to go through other minyan, the last part of the Mount Mekomishi. I'm not sure if anyone's kind of close to finishing it yet. We'll try. So, yesterday we spoke about the issue of Yerusha. How unfortunately in the world in which we live, if a person tries to have his estate divided in the classical way, according to the Minhag HaTorah, the Pesukim in the Torah, and unfortunately the terrible hatred, divisiveness in the family, as the Geshur HaChaim, living in Yerushalayim HaKadosh, testified. We spoke about the possibility of doing things somewhat differently, and even though there was a problem of Avruya Santa, this is open to the Gemara to where we were yesterday, Subis, Afnun Beis, and Beis, please, the Sugis are, although Baba Basra is the main Masechta about Yerusha, oh, yeah, something on the board here. But Subis also, in the Beis and Beis, you see, there's a problem of transferring property from one individual to another, even if it can be done in a legally binding fashion, it's not necessarily recommended. And then days and days, Papa Yaskla and the Brave Be'ahaba Surah, also the Mithlix Super, says Rashi, that they're going to put a lot of money into a Ksuba and thereby it's going to change. We ordinarily go into the sons, and it's going to the daughter. The mind's over here now. Nun Beis and Beis a little bit earlier. After discussion, the Ksubas bin Dich, which we spoke about yesterday at some length, that you give money to a daughter so she make her a better chance for her to get married. But the Gemara says, Gemara says, the mokon the komakri nachla the raisel of tikina rabbanon. You have to have a moser dina. There's at least one dina which is going to be divided according to the dinim the raisel. We spoke about it yesterday. We have karka svarim. Perhaps today we shouldn't use karka anymore for the reasons we spoke about. So svarim, something that should be given to the regular Yerusha process. So the Gemara here, if you're giving too much money to the daughters, so the Gemara nafnun gimel malach on the top says, gevalt, line three. So tell you about Baburi Achsanta, I feel me brought Pisha, the Bratava, the Kosh can be bro the Brata. So the Gemara says, well, that's a different story. There's a reason for it, and that's why it's permissible. It has to be an important reason for it, otherwise, you're not supposed to transfer from one child to another. Certainly not from a son to a daughter, because the daughter doesn't get caught the strict halacha. So we explained yesterday. Just like the Gemara says over here, there's also an inyan of making sure that your daughter gets married, which is an important inyan. Another important inyan, make sure your family lives in peace, which is an equally important inyan, especially since we consider, according to the Mara Fulda, those who have the safe in front of them, this is on page 86, the Mara Fulda, the Rishav of Avasa Perkes, says the reason of Ein Ruach HaKamu Nochei Menu, the transfer of the property is because it's going to cause riv, fights. So avoiding fights is enough of a reason to forget it, to change it these days, make it boys and girls should equally. I lo darshina tamad the cross, we explained yesterday, darshina tamad the drasha. This is not a din before the pasuk before, it's a drasha. The drasha says, don't play around with the Yerusha. If the purpose not to play around and to leave things go, how do we say the Geshur HaChaim said, Abchor Kibcharoso, Pasha Kibshuta, when the Boros get nothing, cause tremendous fights. To avoid the fights, it's better to get the station go to the children equally in order to avoid a fight. That's what we explained. We spoke a lot of time about the Shtar Chatzizah. We saw three different places in Eben Ezer and one place in Toshim Mishpah. Four different places in total that Ramah speaks about a Shtar Chatzizachar, which is, just to review briefly what it is, that a man has, what I gave an example last week, he has $6 million. $6 million, and he has two sons and two daughters, no b'chor. So by strict halakha, Each son should get $3 million, the world gets nothing. So the Chatzi Zacha was, no, each son will get $2 million, each daughter will get $1 million. So we're not that egalitarian. Something, $1 million, that's enough, more than nothing to sneeze at. That's what he used to write. How do you do it? You write a document of indemnity. Again, we spoke yesterday about the fact that you used the Lashon Mischaivus instead of Lashon Hodah. We'll come back to the indemnity today. You obligate yourself $10 million to your two daughters. Each daughter has a credit, therefore, of $5 million. She can take it as a credit for its first crack before the heirs. Except you're right. In the case, your sons will follow, will give their sisters a Chatzi Zachar, $1 million each. Then the obligation of $10 million is null and void. Yes.
Why would we assume that you can use a chatzi zachar to give them anything? Why couldn't you give them, make it a fair split?
Means zachar shalom.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, that's what I do. I recommend zachar shalom, as I told you. I'll show you the concept exists. The Chasam Sofer explained in the true, so yesterday in Shir, that the same way as the Torah has a common concept of a bechor getting twice a pashut, so too they made a takana that a male should get twice a female. That's where you got it from. The precedent, okay? A very nice precedent, but shalom bayis is more important. Okay? We have to try to keep the peace in the family. Cain nirali. So much so that the Marsham, again, those who have the same in front of him, who has a cold tree today? Who has one? Raise your hand if you have one. Almost everyone has one. If you don't have, maybe you split it up and look over some friends. Parents not online. I don't know why it's not online. So the Marsham here on page 87 says, Eidus, the reason why they stopped using Shtar Chatzi Zachar was because the women wanted a Zachar Shalom. They wanted, if they went, they were going to secular court. So you can avoid an Easter of Gzela and Arkos by doing it this way. Okay? That's what we just saw. Fine. Yeah. I don't want to spend the time to go into all the intricacies of this mimer. It will take much too long. Suffice it to say that there's a discussion over here what we call Matana Mechaim. I'm just skipping all the way to page 90 over here. Matana Mechaim. Give all your money to your kids in your lifetime. But I quote the Gemara, both say, Baba Metziah, Ayin Haman Beis. Shlosh and Tzog in Vein and Enen. One of them is, Kona Odom Yatso Mahi, Hakosev Nechosov Libonov Bechayov. The people, for whatever reason, could be tax reasons, could be family reasons, they give away their money to their children in their lifetime. Very smart, very magnanimous, very noble. Terrible! Don't you ever do it. Look what the Shalom Kodesh writes. The last 4 lines, page 90. Let's read together. For EC mixas avos creation of ocean bevorm the oven. They're getting older. They have a lot of money. Nostim the bneim the cholechet sargodol achel sheinusur. The kids are married. They give tremendous amounts of money. Umagzikim the atzma, and they keep for themselves. They're not totally stupid. Kishiyurim shemisharim sheilam dai kol yomechaleya. They leave for themselves and their own bank accounts enough to live their whole lifetimes, right? Zeu shtus gadol. Remember, the shalom is not the kind of a guy who talks this kind of language. The shalom hakodesh, we call him. He was a holy man. You wouldn't call him a shtus gadol unless he was convinced that shtus gadol is a very silly thing to do. Who shtus? Asher yachalavu that they are very gadol. Ah, nice. You know, holiness. It's silly to live to take. Why? Ki mi yodea mayela jom. Ulai is hapech agagal ala af. Ve'oi la af asher yavo al shulchan bonov. Ki udov asher neger ateva. Woe to a father who has to be supported by his children. Keep the money for yourself. The children will get it after 120. That's what the Shalom is telling you. You want to avoid taxes in a legal way? We'll discuss soon how it can be done. But don't give all your money away. So to give all your money away, we'll call Matana Mechaim to your children, to obviate problems of Havaras Nachla, is a very serious mistake. There's a discussion here about Matana which will be effective 1 minute before your death. Ah, yes?
What's the actual problem of the father being supported by his children? He says, Yachol Avo L'Deo V'Ergo, and then he says, because it's Dabash and Negev Teva?
He doesn't go into all the details. You can look it up in the Shalom. I quoted the Shalom from a secondary source called Mishpat HaTzavah. Mishpat HaTzavah is a fat safe, but it's actually a second fact, which is somewhat slimmer, where Rabbi Schwartz in I think in the Tanya, I think it's in the Kloisenberger curl, this fact, all about Tzavah, and he quotes the Shalom. He tells you there where exactly it's found in the Shalom. Probably if you Google it, but do a search, you can find these words, and I'll tell you what I can tell you without seeing the Shalom, what he's worried about. When parents are supported by their children, I believe the Averi Gadol will be, Chalila V'chas, a lack of proper Kibud Averim. Hashem created the world, there's a certain hierarchy. It's parents and their children. Parents, from the beginning, they do everything for their children. Right? Nothing wrong with the child becomes richer than the father. But call them as kind, puts them over Tamidim. Fine, there's nothing wrong. Whatever, we love that. But the father has to maintain his independence. The father is dependent upon the son. It can get a little tough. Yeah?
Can't you say he's clearly putting himself in a situation maybe where he knows, he could be mocha on his cover, right?
A father can be mocha on his cover, but not on his bizayim. That's what I'm assuming. Again, I don't have it in front of me. If you look it up, there's something different that I'm missing, you let me know. Okay? You can find it one of two ways. So, Matana, 1 minute before death, there's a whole pilpul here on page 91. It works, it doesn't work. Shal Breira, no Breira. It's like a more Gittin, but a Marasha, whatever. Get pushed. Not for now. However, Rabbi Osai, I believe it's possible to what's called Guf Mehayom Uperis Liachamis. That's the Gemara Babasa Kuf Lamadov. It means, it's very careful in the words, the guf, the object itself, belongs to the son from today, but the peiros, which means the use of the object, is not until after death. So if you look at the important word, the last paragraph of page 91, who wants to pronounce it properly? Ulechora zedome lema shekor etzleinu. What's the next word? Who's following his heart? Trust. Trust. Tes, resh, aleph, samach,
Trust.
The word for trust is trust. Okay? I don't know what the word is. I want my Shema knows what I'm talking about. Trust. There are two kinds of trust. I'm not a lawyer here. Revocable and non-revocable. And they're different. We'll see soon. Seems to me, you write as follows. If you write your daughter in a trust, the possessions belong to your daughter, not only in secular law, but also in Dinah Torah. Guf me'ayom uperos li'acha misa. If you want to make it revocable, I quote from Zav Nechemiah on page 92, you have to make it a Tanai Kofel. Okay. If I won't back out, I'm giving you guf me'ayom. And if I do back out, I'm not giving you guf me'ayom. Fine? However, if you're giving it as a gift, you can't transfer a bank account. You certainly can't transfer how much is going to come to you after you write this so-called will, because it's not yours yet. There's a whole discussion on both sides, which I can't go into right now, about issues of guf me'ayom peres achamim. Why? The quote of the Shulchan Aruch says in Choshen Mishpah, Mochar haben b'chayei ha'av. Okay, the son is in a guf me'ayom peres achamim. So the son now has a theoretically guf, and he'll get the peres, the practical benefit, after the father dies. The son decides, in his father's lifetime, to sell the property. Well, we don't control yet. Yeah, but in concept, it's mine. I'll sell it right now.
Can't do that.
Oh. The son dies. Dies. Then the father dies. No one lives forever. When the father dies, says the Shulchan Aruch, the lokeach, the person who bought it from the son, gets it. Why? Because the father only has peiros in his lifetime, and kinyan peiros, not kinyan aguf. It's all machlokes and Baba Basra and Git and a few other mesachs. What about in today's trust? You said, can't sell it. Son can't sell it yet. I think that's true. I think in American law, American son cannot sell it. Right. So now I wanted to suggest.
The deal was that he was
getting. So the talking I read over here, ain lebein kinyan aguf klal. It's not really a guf me'ayom peres achamisa. It's like a mekabel matan achamisa, which doesn't work. So even though you may view the trust as gufei aperesach hamisa, but it's not really so, because American law says it's not that way. Because in gufei aperesach hamisa, the son can sell it in his father's lifetime. If the son dies, the father dies, okay, I guess it. And the American law wouldn't happen. Nonetheless, we can still say it's a guf mehayom with peresach hamisa, but the law adds a condition that the sale is no good. Not completely clear. Revocable, not revocable. We can make a distinction. Maybe if it's revocable, it's not really a matana. If it's irrevocable, then maybe it is a matana. What about estate tax? That's going to be a determinant. Estate tax. I don't know, Uncle Sam takes money, Rabosai. You should know. Somebody dies, he doesn't get out of Uncle Sam's clutches because he died. They're still after him. And they take, they can take a lot. High percentage. You know, the higher the estate, they take a lot of percentage. They take a lot of money from the estate. That's what people look like, Dre, Schmeis, all to outsmart Uncle Sam legally. I have nothing illegal. Nothing illegal. There are estate lawyers, all they do is rip off Uncle Sam day in, day out, legally. With all kinds of, you know, trust funds and all kinds of, nothing wrong with that. As long as you're above board, you're legal, nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. So, is there a tax on the trust? In some places, if it's revocable, it is taxed. Not if it's irrevocable. The government sees through. If it's a revocable trust, come on, man, who are you kidding? It's still yours. You die, you take the money. Irrevocable, you gave it control, then we look at it not as an estate tax in some certain situations. Maybe that's going to be a distinction halacha l'maaseh here as well. Maybe. Let's say it's not a matana mechayim, let's say not, but you have to have what we call an executor. Every trust must have an executor. It has to be, it's part of the law. This executor, as we call an apotropos. As we call it, you've seen that somewhere in Shas Apotropos, it's all every Mesepa is Apotropos.
Is that an arbitrator?
No, a trustee. An Apotropos is like the Yisomim. Someone's a guardian, someone who watches over it. That's the better translation. Okay? Here you have a new part. Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Hameis. You have a little gittin about it, the Baba Basra. Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Hameis. Oh. The only problem is some people, they make themselves the executive. Crazy as that sounds. Then, you can't take any risk. We pass in Shulchan Aruch, you always say mitzvah of the kind of remains, hushlash mitchila lekach. You gave it to Tosin Gittin of Abbas. You gave it to somebody to take care of it for you. But you didn't give it to anybody else. Nope. Now what is a trust anyway? What is a trust? A trust, in my opinion, is perhaps the only case, in my view, that the halacha recognizes an independent entity. Because we have a halacha precedent for it. It's called tfusas habayis. If somebody dies and leaves an estate, that's a halachically recognized entity. It doesn't belong to anybody. It's being held for the children to divide it up ultimately. They haven't divided it up yet. It's a separate entity. Similar to American law, the estate of X. X has four kids. They haven't got around to do a probate. It's the estate of. The halacha recognizes an independent entity, the estate of. On both sides. And therefore, it's like what they call it in America, a corporation. Now I saw that Rabbi Usher Weiss says that he thinks a corporation is also halachically recognized as a separate entity. Not everyone agrees at all. Most people disagree with him. Say a corporation is nothing more than a partnership with limited liability. Who owns it? The owners. Shareholders, private owners, it doesn't matter. That's Rabbi Weiss has his own view. That's his separate entity, because that's what the government says. We don't believe in the government, but it comes to a twist of advice, and we have legal precedent for it in halacha. We view it's owned by a separate entity. Separate entity.
They usually go together.
Where do they go together?
Almost every trust is created with a company, an LLC.
Okay, but even if I will not recognize an LLC as an independent corporation, if it's owned by Reuven, Shimon, and Levy, because that just belongs to Reuven, Shimon, and Levy, once you talk about a trust which has, you know, implications after death, and the government, we recognize it, the thing, at least for the after death part, so, yeah. So that's the question. What is a trust? Is it guf mayam peres achamisa? Or is it matana leachamisa because the government determines it as a separate entity? Not completely clear. So I thought it depends upon the nature of the trust. We said before, is it revocable, is it irrevocable, etc. So here I explain, on page 93 of this Maimer, it seems to me, Rabbi Osai, it seems to me that whenever there is a joint ownership of something with survivorship, it bypasses Yerusha completely. Bypasses Yerusha completely. And therefore, if you have a joint bank account or a joint home in two names, which is common when a married couple buys a house, I think it goes straight to the surviving spouse. That's how it is in American law, to my understanding. And that's how I believe Halacha recognizes it as well, even though there were those who disagree with me on this. Okay, fine. Oh. Now.
You have an analogous concept in Nixay Maluk to a certain extent, right?
To some extent, right. Nixay Maluk, what does Nixay Maluk mean? It's owned in theory by the wife. Who clips the coupons? Who gets the parents? The husband. It's a similar theory, right? It's Kenyan Aguf for Kenyan parents, right? Very good. What I thought, frankly, was it's like acharecha leploni. What does that mean? That means there's a concept of a basic flam involved. I say nichse lecha v'acharecha leploni. Survivorship. I give something to Reuven. Reuven, I love you very much. I really love you so much. But your family, I'm not the big fans of. I'm giving you a $1 million gift. After you die, it goes to Shimon. It works. Seems to me a couple buys a house. So Reuven and Rachel buy a house. From whom? From Shimon, from John. Doesn't matter who they buy it from. And John is selling it, or Shimon is selling it to Reuven and Rachel. What's he really doing? If it's phrased in a joint ownership. Right? What it means is he's selling half to Reuven, acharecha l'Rachel, and half to Rachel, Vacharayach leRuven. That's what it really boils down to. So that's, I think that's what it is. That's what I think Halacha leMaisa. That's what it really is. Okay, nearly. The mitzvah the kind of Rabbi Meir is not going to go into the prodim. We pass it's only what's called hushlish mitchila lekach. It's been given over to somebody else. The Rav Moshe is a chiddush nifla v'nara on this. We mentioned a little bit before. Again, I mentioned here, if you look on bottom of 97, I call it executor. So it's like telling a guy to fulfill the tzavah. Perhaps the person who's in charge of the trust, he's commanded by the person who wrote the will to do such and such, give such and such to everybody. So now after all this, the kids are, we saw what I want to talk about today, which is shtar chatzizah. And this maimah, those of you who have it, it's the last piece. Dalit, song of page 98. When he spoke about Shtar Chatzizacha, Rabbi Osai, how important it is. And there are those in this generation who want to reintroduce it. Rabbi Zalman Nechem has a couple of Amorim on it. The Nachlat Shiva, he points out what I mentioned to you yesterday. Lashon Odisa, we saw in the Ramah, that you admit to own such and such amount of money, $10 million to your daughters. So he asked Rabbi Zalman Nechem and Maikasha. Much better than it's called Hischaimus. His chaimus means it's much more logical, it's much more elegant, much more rational. And more than that, talachli better. Because Odisa, some poskim say, only works for shchimera. Quotes the Rektos. Not only that, Rav Marashal, Yom Shem Shlomo, they introduced Mama Shlosh, why not Odisa? Lo rotsu lahargil b'kinyan sha'omesh sheker. You're telling a lie. I admit that I owe you $10 million. That's not true. I don't owe you $10 million. More than that, there are poskim who say you can't do it on condition. If it rains tomorrow, I owe you $10 million. If it doesn't, I don't owe you. That's an absurd statement. It's absurd. That's ridiculous. And you owe it, you don't know it. If it rains tomorrow, I obligate myself to tell me otherwise. That's fine. But I owe you? It makes no sense. So Rav Nechema writes the word about asmachta. Obligate yourself a large sum of money and condition, according to one opinion in Shulchan Aruch, it's an asma. By Odisa, you admit the owed from before, There's no asmachta. Fine. Fine. Now, you could obligate yourself straight. A chelek chati zachar to your daughters. No conditions. Well, that's what's called mischayev adavah shein hakotzer, which we spoke about a long time ago. Rambam holds it doesn't work. Mechaber's against. Fine. Now, quote on page 99, a kuntus midor ledor for Feivel Cohen Shlita. He wrote it in good American English and in Hebrew. Lashon Ischakim says two parts, English and Hebrew. I hereby obligate myself. I ask Machta, no problem. If you're Mischaya Me'achsha Bekinyan Suda Bebezin Choshuv, you pass in Shulchan Aruch, that it works. It works, but we pass that it works. I read over here that according to the Rambam, it wouldn't work. You and I spoke about this a couple of months ago, I don't know what it was, about when it came to the prenup, about an obligation for X dollars a day. So there were those who said his chayvus al atnai, according to the Rambam, won't work even in a bez mechosha with kinyan meyachsha. I said, I think the Rambam holds that way. Like I referred to my Maamar Beis Yitzchak in Tavshin Samach Dalet with the page number. But as I said to you then, it works according to the Shulchan Aruch because of kinyan suda meyachsha, the bez mechosha. It works according to the Rambam because of the bez mechosha dimension. And the Yersha Le Yorshim Liton Kimli Karambam Negar Shulchan Aruch Rama. I have from Rebel Yoshim. Those who look inside, give a look. It's on page 99. Chobetz Shuvus. The more now Rebel Yoshim, then it was Shlita. Didn't write that way. Chelik Beis Simen Kuf Sama Gimel. The Pesach Halacha, you have the Bezdin. He said his Chayvus on that Tanai is no good. Could have asmach. Now, give me the Tuba. There's a lot of differences for prenups. In the old days, the Shtar Chatzizacha wasn't written by a 60-year-old man who's in estate planning. It was written by a 40-year-old man who's marrying off his daughter. And the Eidim wants to make sure he gets a nice chunk. They did it before the wedding, prenuptially. Why? Because look at Rav Yoshev, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Sama Gimel. That's a reverence. One's Chelek. Same number, amazingly. Both are Kuf Sama Gimel. One's Beis, one's Aleph. Hiksha. We discussed and shared way back months ago. The cult of Sefis Ksuba Smachti. The Mischayim Sum Godel Al Tanai Shioma So Yigarish. The Tirit. The Kaim and the Kaimala Gedushin Abtest. Omdu Bekitshu was also from Ksubas. Hein Hein Adrob Nitnam Babira, as we spoke about. Ein Tzoruch Maisa Kinyin. The ain can bias as machta. That's the shtar chatzizacha, which is undertaken before the marriage. But after mina the call is chayvus shalpiv omdu v'kitshu. I mean a prenup. The ain can mokal maharich. Here's my little hint in print. Hint in print. The Rabbi Yoshev would not have been so strongly against the prenup because of a smach. Even though he wrote a psak about a smach in a different case, printed in the piskin in rabbanim and in the kovas shuvus. That wasn't prenuptial. That was an obligation undertaken in the throes of a divorce crisis. It was prenuptial because of Yosha's own psak. No asmachta problem. Okay, nearly. Now, next paragraph is getting important. Umisha kose b'shtar shem b'schaya b'kinyim b'ez b'choshev ain't tzorach lasas kain b'poem. Once you admit to it, you have to do it. Why not? Dodoz baldin kebeidim dami. It's chash and margul and shaker. No, ikir shtar is his chayvus. Bez mechoshim is only a detail to get out of the problem of smachta. It's not such a big chashash shaker as a regular udis. You want, you're worried about shaker? Do it. Find the bez mechoshim. Find the bez mechoshim. That's perhaps why the kuntras of Rabbi Kahn has long discussions about how you do the kinyan suda. Say it's enough to have those balden. Okay. But there are those who claim there's no Bez Mechoshev in 2014. We don't know what a Bez Mechoshev is. But we have a klal halacha. Yifnach v'doro kishvu. In every generation, whatever Bez there is, that's the Bez Mechoshev. I don't understand this. But even if this rabbi feels that you and I can't identify a Bez Mechoshev, it shouldn't matter. I admit that I and did it put him in Bez Mechoshev. I also had the planet we can't. So what? So you can't find it in the planet. So it's in Mars. I admit to Bez Mechoshev. Once I admit it, Hodos Baal Mechimeh Adam Dari.
Why doesn't he preface it with a nadir? If he prefaced it with a nadir, wouldn't that create a hole?
Nah, don't please stay away from the door. No, the door went over. Okay, Rabos Akis, watch. Last 3 lines on page 99, we're coming to the end. Pizvaneinu noagim b'neizug l'chtov tzavo zelozeh. The man writes a will, and his wife inherits it. She writes a will, husband inherits her. Okay? With respect to the wife, that a husband inherits her as a dinish of an arch, by Archie Sishto, Sasugis Akamo, Yushasta, Simon Sadi Sidalf and Ebenezer. What about the man who wants his wife to inherit him? Page 100. Simple. Top line. Yishayev Liishto Schum Godom Ahod. Just write a note of indebtedness to your wife for $10 million, or if that's not enough, $10 billion, whatever it takes. And when the person dies, his wife gets all the money, she's a creditor. Everyone knows a creditor has first crack. It's a simple piece of paper, that's all. Now, there's some details that 5 o'clock I'm not going to go into right now. The question will be, what are the tax implications of a shtar chatzizah? Not good. Look what you have here. I insure as I did. This is the last 2 paragraphs on page 100. What does it say? Says, Yizor Sheshtar Chatzizach Alayov Leshultonus Hamas, because it's going to add to the tax that's going to be collected. Sheshtar Chatzizach Shemachon Ha'orot in Mansi Kosov, Shem Yuvo LeBeis HaMishpat Batalu. This is on the bottom. This is taken into court, it's null and void. I don't like that. The kosher. Yemkein HaBed Yimtza Derech LaAvio LeBeis HaMishpat. The son will get a copy of it. Bring it to court. I guess they're assuming that the lawyer, the trustee, who has the document, is not going to show it to the court. It could be subpoenaed. It's not so push it over here. It's not a good idea.
And that provision would not be enforced. It's against public policy.
So that was but they have to see it first.
Yes.
If they don't see it, the public policy will help. Okay, fine. Now, Rabos Evaita. In the whole Bible calls a complicated story about a woman who's married. How does she write a Shtar Chatzizach? It's so complicated for her because she has the first crack that the husband has. Two documents, a constant story. I don't know. It seems to me, generally speaking, a married woman doesn't need a Shtar at all. Because a Baal Yoresh is Ishta. Shu, page 101, not Beroy. A little bit of money in a bank, for example. There's a whole discussion about life insurance. But according to what I said earlier, in the joint bank account bypasses Yerusha. And the insurance goes straight to the beneficiaries. So not such a big deal about the married woman. Just write the regular one and hope for the best, in my opinion. The Mika I did, both in Jewish miracle law and in Jewish law, husband's going to get it, just about everything. If you change your will, people have a habit of changing their wills. Oh, that's when there's a fight. Was he of sound mind? Does he not have sound mind? There's no need to change the Shtar Chatzizach. The Shtar Chatzizach says, tell me right at these days, I'll show you in English in a minute, we'll go on the screen. If my sons, or my rightful Torah heirs, will abide by my last will and testament, last is the key word, you get 500 years ripped up, then it's null and void. That's all. That's how we do it. Showing. Rabbi said it's been much more time to spend on this, but I don't want to get involved in too much. I want to end with 2 things. That page 102, the last page. It seems to me that a man who's happily married should write to his wife a humongous indebtedness. So in point of fact, after he passes away, his wife will get everything. I repeat, for the average Joe, it's not necessary, in my opinion. Spoke to lawyers about it. Because all you have is joint. The average person is a house, is joint. The bank account is joint. The insurance policy, she's the beneficiary. The pensions, her name is on everything. That's a good marriage. Nothing separate. So you don't need it. But a guy has a lot of money, that could be complicated, tax and other reasons. Write a piece of paper. I hereby obligate myself to my dear wife, the sum of 10 million, 10 billion, whatever you need to be more than I think you want. Pass away, the wife pulled out a piece of paper from the drawer. Hineni, everything goes to her, according to halacha. Finished. The wife can do the same thing to reciprocate in case of things that he wouldn't get in the dinya to her. After one passes away, no one lives forever. The surviving spouse should write, in my opinion, what I call over here, a shtar zocher sholem. Not chatzi zocher. Zocher sholem. I make a reference to the tzos. Lamed Gimel Gimel talks about it. Apparently existed. It was apparently egalitarians in Galicia in the time of the tzos achoshen. It was nifto, what did we say, 18... That's real. What did we say? 1812, I think it says. Something like that. Shortly before Avner Lund was published. That's what we kept positive. Something like that. So apparently we were egalitarians even then, 200 years ago. Okay? So you write a legal document in American law. Go to a lawyer. Man has four kids. Every kid is 25%. Finished. Put a document, Shtar Chatzi Zocher, I obligate to my daughters the sum of $10 million, more than you have. So now what happens at the end of the day? Comes at the end of the day. So the answer is, Rabosai, and I quote it with the same of Mishpat HaTzavot, written by a Kloisenberg Achost, from Beder Meshayid, you know, I'm a Gilich. A Kloisenberg Achost. That's what you should do. Otherwise, it'll be Machloikis. And I think the spot is a Bechor. Write the same thing, no difference. I'll speak to you for myself. My father came to me after my mother, Olah Shalom, passed away. Guy ran the will. And he wants to make sure that I get Pishnayim. I'm a Bchor. I said, Abba, I don't want Pishnayim. I said, too many machlokes in the world. I don't want anything, nothing. Give his four children, the two sons, two daughters, everybody for 25%. He said, but you're a Bchor. He went on five times. That I don't want, please, do me a big favor. Write everyone equally. Good. That's what he did. After 120, that's what the rule said with the Shtar Chatzi Zocher, so everyone had 25%. But it went further than that. In American or New York State law, an executor is entitled, I think, to $25,000. Somebody just for doing an executor. So that's what I recall at the time of the son. My brother and I were the executors. My sister's not in this position to neither to get involved with lawyers, etc., etc. I told my brother, I don't want it. I want to throw the 25,000 into the pot. I don't lose 20. I only lose 12. I get back to. I'm not throwing away that much money. I get it's $50,000. We throw it back in. We just got 12 and a half anyway. Just our sisters are 12 and a half richer. We're 12 and a half poorer. That's what I want. You know. I said, you can do what you want. I said, I'm doing what I'm doing. So he listened to me. We threw it back in. And we all, Baruch Hashem, lost $12,500. Kadosh Baruch Hu made it up for us, don't worry about it. And it was complete shalom. No one was claiming anything, taking anybody to finish. That's what we did. Chutz mikarka usvarim. We already said yesterday. Zalman Nechem says, karka today, that's the main asset. In my case, was certainly my father's main asset, which is, I would say it's probably 80 to 90% of his total assets was the house. Baruch Hashem, he made a good investment. I told you, he bought a house in Kew Gardens in 1958, and it was sold in whatever, 2004 or 5. Whee! It was tremendous, and still even tax-free. That gain was hundreds of thousands of dollars, tax-free.
Capital gains tax-free, not estate tax.
Okay, but up to $1 million, there's no estate. Right. And there's under $1 million. Even with the rise in real estate prices in Kew Gardens Hills, we still have $1 million. So we had just about zero tax. Whatever it might be. The kids in Imris, that's what we did. And there's no longer that connection that Zalman Chema writes to the house. So we sold the house. What did they do? The guy bought the house. He didn't quite knock it down, but they do in other places. He built it up. You know, it was one of those houses. It was a detached house. You know, it was a 40 by 100 lot. It wasn't big. And had a roof like this, because I stepped all the way to the second floor. It was like an attic like this. Some guy fixed it up. I couldn't build out too much of the lot restrictions, whatever. For many years, I refused to pass by that block. I don't want to pass by the block. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Once, I was driving. Someone was a wild story. I was on the way somewhere, and I ended up dropping off someone at someone's house, and I had sort of no choice but to just sort of come out that way. So I saw it once out of the corner of my eye, and it's, but and there's not much nostalgia. I mean, nostalgia passed by the block, but you know, in the old days, the house was held for 500 years by the family. A different kind, the farms, whatever they had. It doesn't apply that. That's where we spoke about yesterday. The Bisman Hazen. Fine. So I ended up with a Maramok, which is a typo, which is that so to be Ksubis Daf Nun instead of Tantes. Take a look at those. It's a very famous pasuk I quote. Everyone knows the pasuk. So we think means that you have sons to your children to your children, and Shalom Yisrael means the Jews and the Arabs shouldn't fight with each other. That's how I have in mind all the time. But look at the Gemara says over here. The last four lines. Shalom Yisrael. Or Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Kevin Shavon Levanecha Shalom Yisrael. The Lo Asri De Chalitza V'Yibum. Next day, Kevin Shavon Levanecha Shalom Adayone Yisrael Do Asri Tzuyeh Bikara V'Kodu Benachla. If they're no children, they fight more about brothers and who knows what other relatives. The kids in Nimritz, what do you see from this? Shalom Yisrael's in the family. Not just in Klal Yisrael, it's true, but it's the family. You want Shalom Yisrael to back those who were born yesterday. This thing opened with a Gesher Achaim, who said the fellow wanted his estate to be divided according to strict Torah law. And instead of making his family happy, they were fights with each other to the point that the people said he would be better off leaving zero money to his children instead of bequeathing hatred and bitterness and divisiveness in his family. Every parent's wish is that the children should get along with each other. Every parent's wish. That's the most fervent wish of every parent. The way to do it in the lifetime, one thing. But they shouldn't have any fight after 120. Put it all, everyone should get the same amount. Shalom Yisrael. That's my end part one of today's shiur.
The
Hebrew version. Yeah.
What's the
pasuk? We're running the book now, huh?
No. In the vein of halacha of Yerusha.
You want to know? He's asking me a question which could have been asked at the Q&A on Friday night. So, was anyone at the Q&A? I forgot. Now that you were there. Oh God, they sent me some zingers. Now this one could have been a Friday night question. Why the Torah discriminates against women? All the money goes to the men. What's going on over here? That's what you're asking. Come on, I don't want to ask that question. It's a legitimate question. We're trying to get out of it, not because we question what the Torah says, Chalila. We have a want to make Shalom. What's the Torah's wisdom? So again, Rav Moshe, the children, we've spoken about a few times, guys, on the board once. We are not necessarily wise enough to figure out all the Torah's reasons. But I'll tell you my pshat. Rav Moshe said his pshat in Zman Grama, I'll tell you my pshat in Yerusha. Why did the Torah want that the sons get the money out the doors? I think it's a very simple reason, my humble opinion. I think I told you already this year my whole unified theory of why all the distinctions exist between men and women. Did we go through it? You didn't? I didn't hear you, Ayuda. Didn't?
No.
Don't remember, is it? No. I'll say it again. The kids in Nimritz. I think I once discussed it once. We're doing super stuff over here. But in the Lach Shavim, son. There are four categories of both sides. That's why this is the category, to be conceptual. There are four categories of distinctions between halacha between men and women. The first is anatomy. He has a bris milah, she has not neither. No one can't change that. Finish. The second is Torah and Zman Grama. That we had the. Everyone remember? This we certainly still know. Rav Moshe Shuva to Rabbi Kelema. Rabbi, are you awake? That was on the board, no? Mm-hmm. You don't remember? So we saw that Moshe says his reason is because the women are the ones who give birth to the children, they're the ones who are best equipped to take care of the children, and that's why Hashem relieved them from either all from time consuming or time dependent businesses. Fine. The third category is marriage and divorce law. That's what we're talking about this year. In marriage and divorce law, the man is active in the marriage and active in the divorce. The woman is passive. A man can have two wives, and a woman can only have one husband. A woman is unfaithful, chalila, a sota, a mamzeris. A man has a girlfriend, no such consequences. What's the shot in that? What's the shot in that? Why is it that way? And the fourth and final category, well, let me answer this first. Just to make it easier for me. I think we discussed a little bit once before. The answer is very simple. The answer is that a woman gives birth to children and not a man. It's just a simple answer. A man can have two wives, and every wife, you know, the father and the mother. The mother gave birth, and the man is the husband. If a woman should have two husbands at the same time, you know, with all due respect to DNA, you don't know who the father is. They didn't have DNA, and today they look at the questions and it's contaminated, whatever it is. You need to know the identity of the father. That's why the Torah Kadosh says that a woman cannot be married to two men at the same time. As a result, the definition of marriage is the woman coming to the man's house, Beis Yishon Ador, we discussed in the Nedarim, Menhagim, not that long ago. And then in order to achieve this, the man is active taking her in, an act of sending her out. All this is because of that one fact of women giving birth to children, not men. And finally, the fourth and most elusive category is a catch-all. Whatever will not fit into the first three. It's not anatomy, it's not Zman Gerama or Torah, it's not marriage and divorce law. In my view, all of them, I'll give you four examples. If I recall them, I think we'll discuss it before. One is, women don't count to a minion. Two, a woman cannot be a regent, a king. Three, a woman is psula liatis technically, although we already pointed out that we take a liatis in the Isura, but even in certain monetary cases where men are not around. And fourth, women don't get inheritance when they're brothers. What's the pshat in all these four? My pshat is the public versus private role that the Torah delineates. Vatete Leia, did that discuss with you yesterday? Vatete Dina? Didn't get that far? Tell what I said with the girls and broyers were in middle school, were by me for Shabbos. That's what I said to them. Vatete Dina Bas Leia Asher Yodol Yaakov. They were os bivnos ha'aretz. 10 words. I told you to memorize the 10 words. Orachayim HaKadosh. Because these 10 words have 3 reasons for what happened with Shem. The first is, Chazah Bereshis Rabbah. Vateitze Dina Basleya. Yatzonis Bas Yatzonis. A gadabout, daughter of a gadabout. She went out. Leah went out. Last week's parasha. Vayetze. Vateitze Leah. The cross of Atom and Aitavo. Said the Aruch Chaim, amazingly. You're not going to believe me. I'll show it to you on the screen. This is not what I tend to talk about today. But if Yaakov asks a question, you have to say, we don't shy away from questions yet. How do we get Barry Lang?
The E on the
boat. E. Tanakh. I get Mefarshim. Links, look at my first one.
You can get it through the years, yes.
Gracious. Woman is a paragraph, Tate Dina paragraph Madal, I think. Let's see. Let's see if it's right. This is they don't like torture book stuff. Yeah, got it right. Links.
All around the bottom.
Or Achan, the last one. I didn't make it up. The Skaven HaKos Elodiyah HaSibo Sasha Sibiru Yayitziyo Hebe Mispar Sholosh Vezeo Shir HaKosu Vatete Dina Vatama Yitziyo Letzare Yosef Bas Leo Shei Lo Hoysa Bas Rachel Lo Hoysa Yotzo. Can you imagine that? That's a pretty strong statement. El Tzare Yosef Bas Yatzonis, gracious Rabbah. Here's such a key thing, as I told the young ladies. Yolada Ta, Yolda, Yolada, her mother gave birth to her, b'mizgah v'tiv'a. Teva means nature, mizgah means nurture. She had Leah's good genes, but she also had Leah's nature. She was nurtured by Leah, was the Yatzanis, she was also the Yatzanis. I mean, you know, there are times a woman has to go out, but it's frowned upon.
How was Leah?
We read this in Parshat Vayetze. Vateitze Leah lekroso. So Yaakov Avinu. Atoma elai tovo ki sechoros chaticha b'tud ebeni. Yeah.
How do you define going out?
You went through this before. Rabbi Yashiv's monthly pass. Remember that? You weren't there for that day? You weren't there for that day?
Oh,
you weren't there. I'll repeat it again. The Rambam writes that a man should not clamp down on his wife. He should let her roam around.
Oh, I think it was that.
She can leave her house once a month. At most once. Alright. That doesn't apply anymore. I explained. But the content applies. The details are different. Okay, right. So that's why I told these young ladies, these are middle school girls, age 12, 13, 14, they're just bas mitzvah girls. You are going to be mothers one day, and your children are going to have your genes, Baruch Hashem, and your character traits. Especially your daughters. Try to be a little more refined, a little more inward, cook food of a smell of penema. That's what Aruch Chaim is telling us, the Furish. Number two. The Yosef Bas Yechido Liyakov Bas Achas Ben Abonim. Oh, the Yosef Bas Yaakov Yotzel Hashem Hava Yosef Ba'ola Shebom Tso Ze Osa Shechem Masha Osa Kashavar. Shechem was trying to entice Dina away from her father Yaakov. And there are those today in the outside world who are attempting to entice us away from our roots, from the Ruach Yisrael Saba, Yaakov Avinu, El Tzeda. And I told these girls, you are Beis Yaakov girls, literally, but you're the girls who are devoted to the spirit of Av Yisrael, of Yaakov Avinu, and they'll be those who are trying to pull you away. That's the second thing. And the third, Liros with no Saaretz. It says in Chazal, amazing Prut Rabbi Elazar. Look at this. Kishchem hevi b'no sa'aretz soviv lo'ohol Yaakov. See what's going on? He took the girls around Yaakov's tent. They were playing music. Lotzeis dina l'kola. See b'shlishis. That's what happened. That's what happened. Dina heard music. Rabbi Elazar said, music, we love music. Music, great. We have music. Let's hear the music. Where's the music coming from? Then we got her out of the house, and the rest happened. The rest is history. Shem Yirach, history. I told these young ladies, watch out for the music. I said, when I was your age, something called rock and roll. Rock and roll. In the 50s, rock and roll. Yeah, come on, it was tame. The words were really fairly tame. Oh, there was a boyfriend, a girlfriend, okay, but it was fairly tame. Today, the word, not just today, the last 20 years, it's vulgar and explicit. Znus. We used to talk things a little bit, you know, with the Revisa. No more Revisa anymore. Flat out. And I said, the music itself is garish. The music is disgusting. And I said, watch out for the Jewish music, so-called, at weddings, which is goyish music. Goyish. Goyish. Goyish beat. Goyish swings and alamina zachaner, the drums, the boom, with the noise, with the oh. I don't care if the singer has a beard and pace. It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter what the words are. It's goyish music. So give me a nice Shlomo Kalbach Nugget, that's Jewish music. So I told these girls. The kids, I got a little bit sidetracked. Back to Yaakov's question. So why is it that these four examples that I gave are what I consider to be pnima? There's no minion, it's clearly pnima. I'll try to shul. King, a king by definition is in the fishbowl, most public existence possible. We try to keep the women to not have the position of authority. Eidos, simple. Anyone who's kosher the Eidos in lo yagre v'no savono can be hauled into a bezin. Anyone who we don't want to haul into a bezin cannot testify on his own. A king, Rabosi, a king is possible the Eidos. Because we don't drag him into Zalaf Yichvoda. Kol Kvuda Basmelech Penima. Finally, people who have money, significant money, are always tempted to make more money. Mishyeh Shalmona wrote some aside. Where do you make the money? In the marketplace. You're out there in the world. If a woman has money, can't blame her. She's going to go out and make more money. Get involved outside in the world. The Torah, though, in my view, has always encouraged that women should be at home with their families. And for that reason, perhaps, the Torah HaKdosha goes there that the sons inherit and not the daughters. Wait a minute. What'll happen to the poor girl? No problem. She'll get married, and her husband will have twice as much money because it didn't go to his sisters. It all comes out even at the end. That's my shot. And lest you say that this penima is a pejorative, as some have said, second-class citizens. I read you have Moshe Shuvah, it's Chas V'Shalom, the Rav, the family redeemed, Chas V'Shalom, the second-class citizens. But the same pasuk, Kavud Basnav Penira, refers in the Chazal, the Medesh Penira, the same Rav Midbar, to none other than Moshe Rabbeinu. All Moed Lema. Once in all Moed, Hashem has spoken to him, all in all Moed, but Tznias. And the Chayafim in Tznias, by Lukas Tznias. Alei Alei Ara. The first ones were Kolos, Achuos, Gehilas, Shalom had broke. Did I show the Gemara Brachas last time? I don't think so. So before I go back to the English version, which is one more Brachas.
Does that make the question even worse?
Second class citizens.
No,
yeah.
The Torah, would you do it that way?
This marketplace is even,
you're 100% right. If up to me, the women would stay home with their children. My wife stayed home with her children. My daughters and daughters-in-law basically staying home with their children. We are the exceptions. I'm not discussing the world at large. In the Jewish world, in the Orthodox world, even we'll call this so-called Haredi world, we are still becoming the exceptions. And we're not there to work. I'm not a fan.
So what's trying to wish it? Why don't we try the same?
So I should say the money should all go to the men. Yeah. World War III, Rabbi Isai, I don't want to be fights in the family.
Is that what happened?
I'm telling you from experience.
Why? The Jewish world accepts everything else. Why can't they accept this?
Accept what?
They accept every other.
That all the money goes around to the sons?
Why not this? Basically,
I'm with you. You convince the female population of our society to go along, I'm with you. Come back to you with your results of your attempt.
To be honest, if they're only daughters, then the family.
No, the Torah is within range, of course. The daughters, they're going to have to be the ones. Where's the money going to go to? The Torah wants money to go to the children. It goes to the sons. And what about my daughter? My son will take care. And he has twice as much money because his sisters didn't get it. You know, that's my shot. I may be wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. Maybe wrong. Bechor in the olden days, primogeniture, the Bechor took over all the dealings of his father. Doesn't apply nowadays. Again, I'm speaking as a Bechor. That's what I wanted. I don't want to make up. Anyone should say that I got rich. Look at this, two Gemaras, Rav Osai, Masechta Brachos. People say it, but it's not fair. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Referring to maybe Epstein and the places Bracha,
right,
talked about how the economy evolved. That at one time
it's quoted in your mimer on Heteriska.
Yes, it is.
I read it from cover to cover.
It's an unbelievable analogy.
He got flacked with it.
I said, but it makes so much sense.
It does.
In the context.
It does. But
especially here, because it's one thing to have an agrarian economy.
Yeah, 100% right.
Once it went to money, and I'm reminded now of the Daf Yomi, where it says if you have extra money, don't put it in land.
The Gemara says one third.
All right.
The Gemara says the fair.
Only extra money. About
extra money. One third. One should be in karka, one should be in stocks, one should be in safe investments.
But it goes on to say the real money, the money that works for you, is not in there.
Today it's the other way around. The only thing called them is real estate.
Today.
Right. So watch this. So are women second class citizens? I give the following motion. Let's say you have in a company, a large company, and there are many different high offices. Who is the top officer? There are different names, right? There's president, there's chairman of the board, there's the CEO. Who's really on top? Well, the answer is obvious on top. gets paid the most? Push. It could be a president of a figurehead gets paid bumpers. Or vice versa. Whoever gets paid the most? Who gets paid more? Says the Heilige Gemara. Rabosa, I claim reverse discrimination. Come and tie this to the Gemara. Reverse discrimination. Women are getting paid more than men. What did we say yesterday? That's not right. I should lose because I'm a male. Right. Second Gemara. Noshim b'may zachya. How do women get schar? They take the kids to yeshiva. They tell the husbands to go to Beis Medrash. But not when they got raya, they wait patiently to come up to Beis Medrash. Can I ask a question? What about Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras and Mishpoch? Doesn't count. Those are my two questions. And when Aniyah is dying, the answer is, to say it now, Ashprach. Each question answers the other. The Gemara means over here, why is it that women get more than men? That's not that, the kash. Of course they get schar because of Shabbos, kash, sarat, and mishpach, etc. Why are they getting more than men? And the answer is because while the men are in the base medrash and the learning and the occupying public roles, they're at home. Driving carpool, that's what this means. Driving carpool. I drove carpool too. I used to have kids coming out of my station wagon the old way before they had any laws. Then they had these new laws, now I would have put in jail 100 times over. We had, in the front was just me and two others. That was okay. And the middle was like four or five. And then I think called the backpack. The old wagon. Ten little kids were just all climbing, and we'd press a button in front of Breuer's, they'd all come climbing out, and the ladies would say, count up 17 people coming out of the car. I wanted the schar. I wanted the schar. Only women can have schar for carpool. Yeah? But because this is exactly the point on both sides. The word covered, today's world, is really covered on the Duma. It's illusory honor. Get up there, they honor you if you did. That's not real honor. Yeah, come to the Torah. But because men get a little bit more of that kind of honor in today's world than women do, the Rebbeinu pays them back. He gives them greater schar in Olam Habo. Menoshim Makazachim, this means Noshim Shananas, it's all based on Olam Habo. They'll get more than men because if we got a little tad more than them in this world, they'll correspond with that more in the next world. As a Marsha, I'll just say, you get punishments in this world, you get more schar in the next world.
There's a more functional relationship. The men go to shul because the women want them to. Otherwise, they're lazy.
On both sides, that's my shot. I hope that answers your question, Yaakov. I think so. Now I go back to English language to get how?
The orange thing on the bottom.
Orange on the bottom. Blue?
Yeah.
Okay. This is what was written, Rabosai, at Rabbi Shetler's request. In, okay, three together. It was Parshas Noach. All right. Three together. Can you read in the back? Not that you read it? Or you're on your computer, Yaakov? Still small. Can I make it bigger?
Yeah.
Can I make
this
bigger too?
Let me just rub in mind if I just do it.
I wouldn't know how to do this. Oh, look at that. Okay.
That bigger?
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Arguments, unfortunately, arguments within the family of inheritance continue to this day. In our community, government laws clear the oath of inheritance. Families are sometimes torn asunder by disputes, large and small financially. I've had families where they fight over $5 million, maybe even more than that, or fighting about $5, and who's going to get the becha, who's going to get the this, get heated and protracted emotionally. Sometimes, tragically, it's precisely a lack of appreciation of the Torah's laws which contribute to severe tension in Orthodox families. The Torah provides that sons inherit their parents, while daughters inherit only if there are no sons. In a world of gender identity, this halacha can lead to resentment and worse means stealing, by women who would feel entitled to an equal share of the estate. Double portion by the Torah to a firstborn son can cause jealousy and worse, especially in a world in which primogeniture is an anachronism. The special status of Bechor is a theme of many quarrels, including murder and attempted murder throughout Sefer Bereishis. Kayin, Ishmael, Esav. The unique position of firstborn son no longer is man's authority, this leads to animosity over Bechor's double portion. In the interest of peace within the family, the surviving spouse, surviving, should arrange that his or her assets should be divided equally among the children. However, according to most authorities, the typical last will testament is halakhically ineffective. Most, or version is different. One cannot bequeath property posthumously. Nonetheless, one can identify himself to his daughters, a common practice 600 years ago, Maril, conditional obligation, shtar chatzizah, but you two don't have to share, amah, choshem mishpat 2817. The will should be written to avoid a fight among one's children. A will which calls for the Torah's exclusion of daughters leads to hatred and a split in the family. Gesher Achayim. Today, bequeathing equal shares to all children is the most likely to avoid these terrible results. Women who do not receive equal shares halakhically may be tempted to secure them in secular court. This attempt constitutes a violation of the prohibition to litigate in secular court. And if successful, of theft of money which belongs to their brothers. This practice became so commonplace in the modern era that it led to the abandonment of the Ramon Shtar Chatzizah. Maharsham quoted. That's preeminent. Two. Recent authorities. Oh, here it is. The reason of the Torah are not completely clear. We believe the Torah is perfect and just. Perhaps the Torah provides incentives for different general rights laws, including inheritance. C. If you get that, that's why I wrote that, what I just told you. It's 20 years old, 1995. Almost 20 years old, that this was printed already. I just told you now, it's the whole idea of the four categories. Fine. Halak, the husband inherits his wife's assets, have footnote 2. The wife is entitled to all support from her husband's estate until she remarries. Now it seems advisable to the wife she inherited her husband's assets. It complicates the joint ownership of the home and other assets. The surviving spouse is likely the sole owner according to Halak as well. Otherwise, another debtor to one's wife can achieve the same net result, as we said earlier. Fine. Recent authorities have called for the reinstitution of the known debtors to make a law lawfully effective, Zalman Goldberg or Feivel Cohen. The will should provide that the token portion of the state's svarim should be divided according to the Torah's laws. Since the change in the Torah's laws achieved through indebtedness, not a bequest, it's permissible, just as one may transfer assets during his lifetime. The document below was drafted many years ago. I did this back in the 70s. This is written in 2007. It's 30 years old almost when I wrote it. Now it's already almost 40. Upon consultation with both rabbanim and attorneys, to make a will halakhically effective, while circumstances may vary, peace within the family should be the parents' main concern during their own lifetimes and beyond. This is what I added in Torah. This part, introduction, was already from the 70s. It's a PDF version, apparently. I don't know what that means. Jewish religious law does not recognize the validity of a will. Except for usual circumstances, one cannot arrange for his estate to be divided in a manner different from Torah law. However, by creating a conditional obligation, one can achieve the same result as that of the will and other government laws in a way which conforms to Torah law. How? A person who writes a will should obligate himself to pay a sum of money greater than his total assets. It is typical that the obligation is retractable and not payable to the moment before death. Therefore, the obligation has absolutely no effect during one's lifetime. If one wills his estate to one person, e.g. to his wife, which is what I recommend, he should obligate himself to pay a sum of money greater than his total assets. In such a case, paragraph 2, the obligation form should be omitted. That's the second paragraph. We'll get to that later. If the will includes many persons, the obligation is made to the prime beneficiary or several beneficiaries, daughters. In this case, it is further stipulated that if the Torah heir or heirs carry the terms of the will and other government laws, the obligation is null and void. The obligation becomes effective when the form below is executed and is delivered to the beneficiary or any other party, a rabbi or Jewish attorney, who receives it on the beneficiary's behalf, zochon shlav b'fanav, even without the beneficiary's knowledge. You may not want the guy to know what you want. I want to give it to my daughters. I don't want my daughters to know what's going on in my will. No, I don't want to know what's in my will. There are many people like that. What's in my will is none of your business. After 120, you'll find out. So you can't give it to the daughter. You give it to your lawyer, who's Jewish, to be zarech on behalf of the daughters. Take, pick it up for my daughters. Keep it in your own drawer. Then it's not chal. Shtar not chal if I hold on to my drawer. You give it to somebody else. You have a copy of your drawer. You should give it to somebody else. That person's a lawyer. If a Jewish lawyer, he has it in his safe with all your other documents, with his copy of the will. Sure. Here's the evidence. Right. I, the undersigned, here may I obligate myself to blank. If you have one daughter, her name. two daughters, three daughters, I guess you have 12 daughters. You have to get them reprinted to, you can fit a lot of daughters in here, you know. Till Yisro, till 7, you probably can fit in here. After that, I don't know if you can. The sum of blank. Depends who you are, a billion, whatever it takes.
How much does that
have to
be exactly?
The sum? Yeah. More than all your assets.
Could be a dollar more?
Don't be cheap. $1 million more. You made it, the stock may go up one day. Make it a little way more than you have or ever expect to have.
But not an exact number.
No, you can make $10 million. The sky's the limit. Effective immediately, but not payable until one moment before my death, on the condition that I do not retract this obligation in writing anytime I do my death. So you can always back out. All the property which is mine at that time, both real and personal, should serve as security for the payment of the said obligation. And if you do it for your wife, stop right here. Skip the next paragraph. Just cross it out. I hereby stipulate that my heirs, as defined by the Torah, shall be given the option of paying the above obligation, or in lieu thereof, of carrying out the terms as specified in my last will and testament, and in addition, carrying out all transfer of property upon my death which are considered, quote, non-testamentary transfers, end quote, in accordance with acceptable laws. The lawyers told me that there's things that are not officially in the estate, it's whatever.
It's troublesome.
Yeah, but you have to have it. If you don't have it, they told me you're leaving things out.
This document is liable to be enforced.
Yeah.
In which of them it trumps everything.
In terms of estate taxes.
And estate and legal obligation.
Okay.
In which event the women only get anything. And that was the part where they waive. See, the concept of it only being enforceable in a bezdin may not.
I don't say that over here. You don't.
So now you have a real instrument. This is a real debt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now with a real debt.
If my Torah, we're not finished yet.
Okay.
If my Torah heirs abide by the terms of my will and aforementioned state laws, then the above obligation is null and void. So now the boys are behind the eight ball. If they give their sisters a full equal share, then it's null and void. If they don't, they get nothing. As you said correctly, they get nothing. So what are they going to do? They'll do what the father wanted, give the sisters an equal share. The above obligation undertaken by the kinyan sooner and bez mechashuv, you just said it before, right? Mas nachta. A proper means of transaction in importance to Jewish court. The above conditions are made in accordance with the laws of the Torah, as derived from Numbers chapter 32. That's incorporation by reference to tonight when they go to Meruven, you sign. That's going to be null and void to 2100. That might sort of the predated silver, but till then it's going to last. Another 86 years, 2-0. This is what I recommend for everybody. Rabosai, I took a much longer than I thought for this part of the year. If you'll let me, I'm going to start with what should have been today's year. Yeah. What's the question?
Just kind of wondering how this operates. It's a little odd because, you know, the executors have to do all this, right? So why the heirs? It's very confusing.
No, the heirs have to agree to it.
It says the heirs have given the option of paying.
Right.
They don't pay. The executors that administer the estate.
If this, like the two sons and two daughters, if the two sons are not willing to let the last will and testament go through, they run to a benzin and say, it's all kula shali.
No, but it's delaying. Oh, sorry. But it's just, I find it, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, you would have to be able to, you'd have to say, for the male heirs.
I reword the whole thing.
If the male heirs.
No, the Torah heirs. Torah heirs are male heirs.
Say that.
In the average case. Fine. Of course, I want at least to make a scholar.
Why don't you like an inter vivos trust? Because it's a better estate planning tool.
A trust?
An inter vivos, in other words, that he makes a gift the moment before he passes on of everything in accordance with the same terms and conditions.
The problem's going to be that he does it today. Today is December 2014.
Right.
Okay. He does it right now. And in the interim, which he dies in 20 years from now, buys, sells, banks, you can't, you have to put into a trust. It's a little complicated. Kitza, if you have an alternative.
Because he doesn't have the property now.
Yeah, he doesn't have it yet. This works. You want to have an alternative? I'm happy to list all alternatives. Rabbi Sai, let's discuss marriage. Enough about death, talk about marriage. As of when, Rabbi Sai, are you married? So what do you mean I'm married? I put a ring on a finger. That's Kiddushin. As of when is Nisuin? So those are the Ma'am Makamashi, Rabbi Sai. Here we are. Finally, the last two segments are discussing the question of as of that, what moment is a person fully married? Okay? Rabbi Sai, let us discuss what's in the Shulchan Aruch. For this segment, which is today, tomorrow, I guess the next day probably, And you see, the Shulchan Aruch are all from Hilchas Kiddush, not from Hilchas Ksubis. So I brought my Hilchas Kiddush today. And if you, anyone here have a Hilchas Kiddush? Who are? No? I'll put it on the board. So I'll put it on the board. And both, let's start with a, let's start with as follows. We'll start like this. Let's start with a Rambam. A Rambam. Oh, that's a safe place to start, right? A Rambam. Rambam. They both say Rambam is a good place to start. Rambam is right here. Hilchos Ishus. Perek Yud. Let's look together. Everybody said, we'll just, let's, can we read together? Take it from the top? Just to get a general background. Also, the prompt will be tomorrow. It's a general background. You are married to her, but she's in a father's house. You may not have a relationship to her. Who knows the source for this thing? Of all places. It's Yerushalmi Hormi Sefer. Who wants to guess? If you're really smart, you have to figure it out. Psachim. Figure it out. Should all know this. Should all know this. No one ever learned about Psachim? That's right. That's right. Tosis says Psachim. Let's see if we show it for a second. Where's the Farshim? Allah Bavli. Famous Tysus, you don't know, you must learn out of something sometime. Tysus says, what can't you eat? Where is it? Matzah, I feel a kod and ami also of Pesach, and maybe we shall meet. Kola ochel matzah vera Pesach, kilu bo'ol arusos to the beis chamuk. That's the source, isn't that amazing? Famous Rishalmi. That's what's in Psochem. Toast in Psochem. What's the common denominator, Bosai? You're impatient. Be here with your wife as a mitzvah. After Nisuin. Before Nisuin is an Aveira. Eating matzah to stay the night is a mitzvah. Erev Pesach is an Aveira. That's a comparison. You can't just wait. Just wait a little bit. Wait a little bit longer. That's how the average Shiva Bacha knows about this Rishalmi. But the Rambam knew all Yerushalmis, of course. Not just this one. Magas Magas. I feel him kitcha bebiya, which you're allowed to do, technically. Also the love of Olev Yashnia, the base of Yachia, but also the top base of Yisiachelima of Yafrishanala. The Yichud Zet, who are Nigma Kanisa the Chupa. But Nigma Nisun Bechamak. So the Rambam says, what is marriage, full marriage Nisun? Yichud. Seclusion. Okay, so that the bee itself, the Shem Nisuin, can create Nisuin. That's what the Rambam is saying, the Shem Nisuin. Yes, sorry.
If you're in a cottage with bee, what's it called? You're not over anything? Like, that's totally legitimate. Like,
well, I wouldn't recommend it, my dear friend. We don't do it anymore. Okay. But technically speaking, it's not a formal violation. Rab man yir aman the kaddish bebiya. He gave malchus because it's not a sneeristic thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's, for a technical perspective, it's not a formal violation. Okay. Halacha base. Keva shenichas ha'arusa l'chupa, v'ayiz muteres lo lovo alev v'chol esh yirtza v'arehi yishtel gemur l'chol dover. U'meshe tikonis l'chupa nichas nesua. Afal pi shalonim ala. V'hu? Shetia ruya l'biyila. The famous Rambam of Chuppah Ruya Labiyah. This is world famous. Avalim Hoysa Nida, Afal Pisha Nichlas of the Chuppah of the Nisiach Alima, which is not allowed. Lo Gromu Anisuin, Tarehi Karusa Adayin. The famous Rambam. famous Rambam, a chuppah's nida doesn't take effect because it's a kinah of the yichru ala biya. Okay. But tzarech levarach birchas chasanim reis chosim kon nisun vein, it gives you the brachas. All the brachas. He calls it sheish brachas. What was sheish brachas? Bar pragav, it makes seven. Okay. Yayin, seven brachas. Need ten people. Chosim in the minyan. Vav. Hamari says a isha ubirach birchas chasanim. Velonis yachanim of a beso. Adayin arusahi. Don't need the brachas make it. No, it's the yichud that makes it. She'ein birchas chasanim osa nisuin, el a kenisa l'chupa. By contrast, the other way around. Iras isha v'kenis l'chupa v'lo birch birchas chasanim, ha'reizu nisua gemura. V'chosim v'varach ha'filach ha'kamiyomim. That works. That works. V'ot yinosi ha'shetitar. Fine. We're not going into any more details than this. So what do you see on both sides? The Rambam is clear. Brachas don't mean anything. Chuppas don't mean something. Yichud and Rodei Biyos mean something. Yes, it's true that you have to make these seven brachas before the Yichud and Rodei Biyos. But don't think that brachas achieve anything. It's the Yichud that achieves something. That's what it says. On both sides, what about the very famous din? Kala b'lo bracha asura l'bar l'kenida. We saw that already a while ago. No, he says. No. Means without a chuppah. Without a chuppah. That's what it means, Rabosai. Who said so first? The Chumash Adeshin said so. Kalab lo bracha doesn't mean bracha. Bracha the bracha about the suchmis the nisuin. I would have to find chuppah. Where's the way to find this? Sifrei halacha, probably. Chumash Adeshin. What? You don't have it?
Might be on the Shalos Hashuvos.
Shalos Hashuvos, okay. Shalos Hashuvos. Oh, that's right. The first half is his own. He made up his own, you know? He made up his own Shalos. Chumash Adesh, bro. Watch this. Chumash Adesh and Rabosai. This is in Chelek Beis. Those are real Shalos. Chelek Beis only made up his own. Chelek Beis is real Shalos. I'm not kidding. Simon Kufman. Mashanasa brechosa below asara. Bechora bekala below brocha basur lebalikanida. Tossi, but she was a rash and she was my meaning. Eno ma'ake b'dievet klal. What do you mean? Behold, the mistaba, the kala below brocha, subakanida, haida below chupa. Ela the knockout below bracha, fisha olsen bracha b'shas nisuin. Like the Rambam, the brachas are very important, but it's the chuppah that counts, it's the nisuin that counts. The bracha is just a way of recognizing what it really means. That's what he explains. He brings the raya. What's the raya? Those are the big three, right? Yorsha, Tamila, Hof, and the Red, that requires Nisuin. What's his right? It says in Pesubas, Daf Memches, on the Maramakomas, who's close to the end of the Maramakomas? Who's close to the end? Okay, because I want to get our new ones. We're not going to get them so fast, but the next one is the final one for this month. The next one is it, 10 and final. Okay, it's in the works, maybe tomorrow or the next day. Okay. Stam chotzer didol and isuin. The Gemara and Amches, you see in the Mamma Kavish, that if this average chotzer belongs to her, is assumed to be an isuin. If it's his not, it's there, it's a complicated story. Uvishamakom brachos e makwas as a mitzvah, vichisaka daitach. Im ein be medina asar, no minyan. Shloti nasa isha mishum de brichas chasana ba asarok subas avzayin. What are you kidding me? Can't be that brachas market. Because you go to the chotzer and you don't have the stam, there's no bracha. The bracha, you don't need any stam. You can't measure stam unless there's no bracha. If there's a bracha, then if bracha's market, then yes, bracha, it's obviously nisuan. No bracha's obviously not nisuan. The fact that it's vague indicates that the brachos l'mavel amorid. More than that, if there are no 10 Jews in town, you can't get married? So, forever? Because Kabbalah is wrong and still like an Eden? No, you can't get married. Go under a chuppah, two Eden, and shine. Yes, you need two people. It's true. You can't get married without two Jews in town. That is true. That is a limiting factor. If you're in a desert island, and you are this gorgeous woman, you end up with a desert island, you'd love to marry her. Can't do it. Because you need two Jews. I like that. Go on social media. I need desperately. Give me two male Jews over 13. I need to aid him. I'll pay him. I'm not paying him for Charlotte. Aid him is good enough. I won't pay him. Just come and be aid him for me. Two Jews you do need, but not 10. Oh, it says in Hanizakin, Gittin and Chesam and Aleph, Zion and Ches, let's see what happens on exactly. Maisa ba'oros ha'arososo. We have these terrible stories about Rabbi Shabbat, Ben Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. We have about them, we say that in the Tisha B'Av. No, they didn't. They locked in. They were a married couple, but only married so far separate because she was still in her father's house. Arusa is an Eishes Ish B'Beis Ha'av. Nesu was Eishes Ish B'Beis Ha'av. She was still Eishes B'Shus Ha'av, and they took them into captivity and they threw them into a room together. Oh, great. He's saying to himself, great. She's my wife. Now we can do whatever we have to do. What does she tell him? Amale, lo tigabi. Don't touch me. Why? They're married. She ain't the ksuba mimcha. I don't have a ksuba for you. For the lack of ksuba, you can't touch me. Says the Chuba Sedeshin, Ava Mishim Kalab lo brocha lo nimna. She didn't say, don't touch me, because you didn't make Sheva Brachos. What about Ksuba? The Sulamid, who signed the Tshuva? Shimshon should be a mistake. Shimshon Rabbi Avraham Zal. This is the Rash Mishans. The famous Rash Mishans, I mean, Thomas Talman, he wrote all this. Tshuva Session quotes. It's Tshuva Smaimri, by name. You look at the back of the Rambam, it's Tshuva Smaimri. It's printed there. That's where it's found. So Rabosai, we're beginning to see that what exactly is an Isuin is not so simple. The Rambam says it means Yichud Aroya Lebiya. Chupas Nida, according to the Rambam, is not valid. Pshuto is not valid at all, but Pshuto. So you can't have it. They're not fully married. So it's a little strange thing. You're making a big party, and they're not, and there's only Eris, and there's only Isuin. We need to call the caterer and cancel. So the Chassidim won't have the invitation until 2 weeks before the wedding. She already went through her cycle. She knows she's going to be clean. They never have chuppah theater problems. Non-chassidim send them the invitation. You have to have 2 months in advance. Oh, etiquette. 6 weeks, l'chol ha'pachas. So what's going to be? I think it's going to get rattle, haywire sometimes. So I'll end the shiur with a piece of medical advice. There's a pill which a woman should take, if she must take it, so she shouldn't stay before a wedding. It's called Aegestin. Aygestin. Whoever's not married yet, write it down. That's what I recommend. Try to arrange the wedding.
It doesn't always work either.
It always works if it's taking the right dosage.
Okay.
Never fail. they try to limit the dosage, then it breaks through. Never fail. Not even once. The mild of Aegestin is, you don't have to take it right away as soon as you get engaged. And it's not like a birth control pill, which should A, break through. And B, the woman decides she likes birth control. She wants another 2 years, not just 2 months, which I'm not happy with. Aegestin just stops the period in its tracks. Nothing comes out. And you can become pregnant on your wedding night, in theory, with Aegestin, in theory. And the biggest smile is, in most cases, you don't have to take it at all. Because the average 20-year-old girl who's a regular woman, and she stops seeing a week before the 10 days before the wedding, she'll be clean for sure until well after the wedding. So, as we said before, Shalom al Yisrael. Let's stop here. Tomorrow we'll continue with these Maamar Kamos as to what exactly is the definition of Nisu. Okay.